Father, you've gathered your flock together to be able to learn and grow and to see the needs and to be able to step into the ministry, the things that you're calling them to as well, Father, reaching more people, touching people with Jesus in us, through us, as he is magnified in us. Father, we praise you for that. Father, I pray that you anoint this word, Lord. Let it speak deeply into hearts and to penetrate, to help encourage people to live for who they are in Christ, Father. We're trusting you for it, pray you for it, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Christians, anybody in here a Christian? Amen. See if I didn't get anybody to sleep. Is anybody in here a Christian?
Hey.
Okay, we got most people, almost everybody in here, I believe, is. So I'm speaking to you. Christians are called to a higher standard of living. Okay? We are not better than any other person on this planet, but we are better off. You think that's prideful? We're not better than anybody, but we are better off because of our faith in Christ. Okay? We have answered the call to our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We receive by grace through faith the gospel, which includes with it this tremendous, awesome package of stuff titled the salvation. Okay, it's a tremendous thing that is included. All these gifts, all these blessings, all these things are exceptional in given that are given to us. Okay, but with those gifts comes the element of responsibility for the believer. Okay, for starters, we are to respond to the giving of those gifts by reaching out and receiving them. That's the first step. Make sense? Okay, if you don't receive it, you don't, you know, have that responsibility. But that responsibility is there, that we should want everything that God has, everything that he has given. Okay, and then once we receive them, then we apply. Okay, the benefit. We apply that grace and that unearned favor to our lives, and then we live differently as we are naturally and spiritually grateful. Okay, it is a gratitude that comes from the heart after having received these. Okay, we are not the same as we once were. Okay, we are not lost, but saved. Okay, we are not unregenerate, but we are redeemed. Okay, we are different than we used to be. Okay, we have been delivered from the grasp, the bondage of the enemy. And we've been translated by grace into the kingdom of God and our Savior, simply through our faith in Christ, okay, through the Son of God. There's your gospel message in a nutshell. Okay, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. In our instruction manual, anybody have one of these? Anybody have one of these? Okay. In our instruction manual, you might not have it with you because we always put scriptures up here. I know that's a downplay, but hopefully you still got one. In our instruction manual, it says this for our Christian living. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. I want to read through 18. It says, "To be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Okay, for what fellowship, he asks, has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Special. Verse 17, he says, "Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my," what? "You shall be my sons and daughters." This is what I'm referring to when I talk about the higher road. When we have received Christ and he has received us unto the Father, God says, I will walk in them, I will live in them, they shall be my people, and I will pour out on them my sons and my daughters. We're going to see God is pouring out on us something special. Okay, this is that high road. It's like a plane of living that is not average. Okay, it is not substandard. Okay, but it is above those who do not know and follow after God. There's a higher calling for the Christian believer. Okay, this is the planned and expected outcome for the believer. This is what God intended for those that are saved by grace. Okay, you're part of a cherished and blessed group of people known as the sons and the daughters of God, considered to be the offspring of God with part of Him inside of you. If you've ever seen my boys, they kind of look like me, okay? And it's because they're part of me, right? There's a big similarity there with what God has done with us as His sons and daughters, okay? Everyone in here, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, became a son or a daughter. If you're a guy, say you're a son. If you're a girl, say you're a daughter. But say, I am a son of God.
I am a daughter of God.
Amen. Because that is who you are. God Himself has put part of Himself in you and now dwells in you. Unfortunately, though, there is a misconception in the body of Christ, okay, that implies that when you're born again, you start over kind of at the bottom. Okay, we all know about being born again, starting over. That's true. But we feel like we start at the bottom of the ranks and then have to work our way up to this place of blessing in the kingdom. Kind of like they figure if they just get everything in order, right? If they just get everything together, they start living the holy life, then and only then will they be ready to receive the blessings from God and they'll be ready to serve in His kingdom. Okay, but that is not the way it is. The truth is that when God delivered you from the grasp of Satan, that He instantly blessed you with an abundance of goods so that you could be successful in His kingdom. Okay, He gave you everything He could at that moment. In the natural, when my sons were born into this world, they instantly became recipients of all that I had as their father to offer them. Okay, if they needed food or, you know, money, or they need education, or they need health, medical stuff, whatever it is, everything that I have at my disposal is theirs at that moment. I'm giving it to them. I'm doing whatever I can to help them. Okay, well, that is similar to what God has done. Okay, they have access to all that I, as their father, have to give, and you, as a child, a son or a daughter of God, have all that your Father God has to offer you as well. He empowered you with His Holy Spirit. He literally wrote His laws, His ways on your heart so that you will always know and understand the right way to live. God put that in you. It's not on a concrete tablet somewhere. God set things up so that when you believed on Him and you turned your life over to Christ, that you would be blessed and prosper in everything that you set your hand to. I want to look at a passage here. It's something that it presents a clear foreshadow of everything that God intended to give us at that moment. Okay, everything that we have now received. Okay, you remember the story of Exodus? Okay, they made big movies out of it, right? Okay, the story of Exodus. Tune in your spiritual ear here for a second and listen to this statement. It's when God's people had been in bondage, literally enslaved to the Egyptians, and God sends a deliverer named Moses to come between them and the head of their captivity called Pharaoh. Tune in, I want you to get this. This is Jesus, you, and Satan. God's people had been in bondage. They were literally enslaved to the Egyptians. And God sends a deliverer named Moses to come between them and the head of their captivity called Pharaoh. God sent Jesus as a deliverer to come between you and the head of your captivity, named Satan. Do you see that? I want to show you this passage in the scriptures. God prepared Moses, told him what he was supposed to say, and then said, I will back you up with miracles. Still sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Okay, God tells Moses this, Exodus 3:7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, God says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of their Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land unto a good and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't be offended. I think she had to go to work, so be believing, it's okay. I don't think I've said anything that controversial, have I? All right, you guys still with me? God says that he has come down to deliver his people from the hand and the power of their oppressors, and to bring them into a land that is good and large and flowing with milk and honey. Okay, in other words, a good land of plenty. That's what God said he was bringing his people into. Okay, now look at this, Exodus 3:20, a few verses later. God says, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give you, this people, favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon who? Your sons and daughters. And you shall spoil the Egyptians. God said that he would not just deliver them, but that he would give his chosen people favor in the sight of their enemy. Think of that. Because even the devil has to listen to you. The Amplified Bible says these last two verses like this. It says, and I will give this my people favor and respect in the sight of the Egyptians. Therefore it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. When you're delivered, you're not going empty-handed. But every woman shall insistently ask her neighbor and any woman who may be residing in the house for jewels and articles of silver and gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and daughters. In this way you are to plunder the Egyptians, leaving your bondage with great possessions that are rightfully yours. Okay, there used to be a great song that words were something to the effect of, I shall go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Okay, and that's what God did by our deliverance. He took everything that was supposed to be ours, rightfully ours, that the devil had lied to us and stolen and made us in unbelief, and gave it to us at that moment. Okay, we as Christians are the children or the sons of Abraham. You ever heard that? Abraham is the father of faith. Okay, and that we are descendants of his. Okay, well, hundreds of years before this scene in Exodus, God gave Abraham, the father of faith, a promise. He told him that, yes, my people will be enslaved. It'll be by their enemy, but it'll only be for a season. But then God says, I will deliver them to a great and prosperous land, and I will bless them and give them a new and better life. In other words, it was a foreordained plan of God, given thousands of years ago, foretold, that when you are saved and delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan, that you will obtain a great and precious inheritance. Look what God said to Abraham, Genesis 15:3. God said to Abraham, know for sure that your descendants will be strangers, living temporarily in a land of Egypt that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for hundreds of years. But on that nation whom your descendants will serve, I will bring judgment. And afterward, they, my people, will come out of that land with great possessions. This was said hundreds of years earlier than Moses walks in it, fulfills it. And then in the New Testament, a man named Stephen, right before he's martyred, uses these same passages because he saw what Abraham said and how it was fulfilled through Exodus, and then he saw how it spilled into the New Testament, that we as believers are in the same category. We are those people that God is going to take from the enemy when he saves us and give us all these great possessions as our inheritance. Okay, the plan of God for his sons and his daughters to be blessed from the moment of their deliverance on is what sets you up for success in your life. Okay, you are set up for a better life. The higher calling and that higher road for those who have inherited the kingdom of God through Christ is ours. Okay, God didn't intend for you to come out from bondage into the family of God and then struggle and suffer and plug along and barely get by in life. God intended for you as his child to be blessed, to prosper, to thrive, and to flourish. And maybe you look at your life and you say, yeah, but I don't see that happening in my life because my life is not thriving and prospering. Okay, I'm telling you today that it is the purpose and will of God for your life for you to prosper. He has called you to be an example for the people around you of what it really means to be a son or a daughter of God. If you're not experiencing that life on the higher road, then let this be God's word for you. Let it be his message to you to start reaching out for what God determined to give you. Okay, stop thinking that struggles and sin and bondage and addictions and depressions and guilt and all the other bad stuff out there is just your lot in life, because that's not true as a child of God. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He set you up for a victorious and a triumphant life because he wants your life to bring glory to him. So don't settle for anything less than that. If you're not there, that's okay, but keep looking because it's still coming. God's plan was that you be blessed. Last verse here, I want to end with this. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, all to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us, past tense, accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will." It's according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's now, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and glory of God who first trusted in Christ. Okay, you have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated by the will and the purpose of God himself, that through your life, you would bring praise and glory to God. Simply because you put your faith in Christ, you depended on him, you rely on him, you trust in him, and because of that, you became a child of God. Okay, you're called to live on a higher level. This is part one. Next week, I'm going to tell you about what living on that higher road looks like. A precursor is it has to do with integrity, moral integrity. And when we walk in that, we will see things differently. Okay, We'll get into that next week. Father, we praise you today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts this morning and helping us to grow in faith. I pray that, Father, we do look forward to what you're doing, Lord. And we know that there's more available. If we're not walking in it, we just haven't received it yet. Let's keep pressing into it, Father. We're trusting you to help us with that, to lead us, to guide us, to open doors for us, to help prompt our hearts, to help remove things that are not of you, to help lead us in that direction towards you and the fullness that you want us to walk in. Father, we praise you for it and thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen.